Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Buckhead, Atlanta, it's time for Simply Buckhead Radio with your host, publisher, and founder, Joanne Hayes.
Good afternoon, Ryan. It's so great to be here on a beautiful spring day, no rain, 77 degrees. What is better than that?
Tuesdays in Buckhead, another edition of Simply Buckhead, a magazine radio show. We are excited to be here.
Yes, yes. We have a great lineup today, and it's been a great couple of weeks. Last week, we re-aired a show, but we're very happy to have live guests today and for the next few weeks. But we've had a great couple of weeks with the magazine being out and seeing the response from people on our social media sites and the music industry. We've had a lot of great feedback from this music industry.
Yeah, Ludacris on the cover of this issue.
Yes, yeah.
Featured a guest, a musical artist in the magazine as well.
Yes, we had Chris Cawley, Christian Bush, Indigo Girls, nice. Doria Roberts, the owner of Urban Cannibals. And there's just been a lot of great feedback from this particular music issue. I actually had a chance to meet Ryan Cameron the other night at the Hawks game, and he was pretty excited that he was included as well.
We're hoping to get him in the studio one of these days.
I bet
he would be a great guest.
I'll see what I can do to get Ryan in.
If anybody can make it happen, you can.
We'll make it happen. Nice. We'll try and get Ryan in the studio. I think he'd be a fun interview.
I think so, too.
So let's get to it today. We're going to be talking about golf and springtime in Sandy Springs. So our first guest today, we're going to welcome Jamie Bodner from Pinnacle Fitness to the studio again. This is Jamie's second visit with us. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to be here.
And truth be told, I just came from his studio. So we're very excited that we get to work out and then come in and work out in the radio studio right after. Nice. So I go sleeveless as soon as it's 60 degrees out. So I got to keep it up.
Springtime.
Springtime, right, for sure. Our next guest is Lib Thompson, and Lib is from the Sandy Springs Society. Very excited to hear what's going on in Sandy Springs, not just with the upcoming event, but in general year-round. I know there's a lot that happens in Sandy Springs, so we're very glad to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And we're going to start our interviews today with Andy Brent, who is the manager at Golf Tech here in Atlanta. Welcome to you today.
Thank you.
And I know your official title is Golf Tech City Manager.
I'm assuming
there's a reason that they call you a city manager.
Well, it's more regional. We do have three locations here in Atlanta. We have a Duluth location, and also up by the Cumberland Mall, and then, of course, here in Buckhead as well.
Okay. Cumberland Mall would be considered Dunwoody area?
It's still Atlanta. It has an Atlanta address, but it would be pretty much more kind of Smyrna up in that area. So
It's right.
It's inside the Goldsmith that's right there off of, I think it's Northside Parkway.
So you oversee all of these locations.
I do.
And now, I know your background. You're a Mississippi State Professional Golf Management graduate.
Yes.
Please tell me what that means.
Well, basically, it's a dual degree. You go to school there and get a marketing degree, and then while everyone is out doing fun things during spring break and winter breaks and things like that, the PGA comes in and puts us through different courses for our PGA card. So during the five-year process, you have to do 20 months of intern work, three different courses, and then be able to graduate with your PGA card.
Wow, that's a pretty rigorous schedule, I would imagine.
It is, but you know, it's a lot of fun too.
Well, and I know that you know, your bio says you have you're also a PGA member.
I am.
So I'm guessing you're an excellent golfer, probably a scratch golfer.
I don't play as much as I used to. Two little ones at home, but
I think that's all of our complaint. We love to golf, and we never get enough time out there. And that is one of my missions. As I've gotten older, one of the things I plan to do in retirement is golf quite a bit, and I'm actually going to start it now, and I'm nowhere near ready to retire. But I miss being on the golf course.
Yeah, it's the best way to enjoy the outdoors.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
For sure. You've given over 15,000 lessons since starting with Golf Tech in 2001. So right out of college, did you go straight to Golf Tech?
I did. We had eight locations at the time. Now we have over 200. That's worldwide. And so it's that number's grown quite a bit since I wrote that profile, but it's probably closer to 20,000 now.
Wow. Well, let's talk about Golf Tech a little bit. How did Golf Tech get started, and what's the premise behind it?
Well, our founders were doing intern work and assistant jobs at Cherry Hills Country Club in Denver, Colorado. And at that time, the head pro came to them and tasked them to find a way for the members to stay active during the winter months, especially in Denver, other than skiing.
Mm-hmm.
So the way there, they were able to get a motion analysis machine. So it's a vest that the players wear has a sensor on the back and also on the hips. And we're able to measure rotations, tilts, bends, basically how the body moves throughout the whole entire golf swing. And so from there, they took that concept and put it into a strip center there in Denver. From there, we went nationwide. So we started, like I said, in 2001. We had 8 locations, Atlanta being one of them. And then we started franchising in 2004. And then we finally went worldwide in 2008.
So it is partly franchised?
It is partial franchise, yes.
Okay. But the owners are still based in Mississippi? Denver.
Denver. They're in Denver,
okay.
Yes.
Very good. Well, it's quite a company. I'll admit that I really didn't know much about it. And again, it's because when I moved here to Atlanta, golf kind of took a backseat to having teenagers in the house.
Sure.
And, a magazine that got started. And Jamie will attest that, when I came to him to start training, I had spent about 1.5 years not being able to fit anything in.
Sure.
And so it's been a journey back to being able to work out a few times a week and walk and do all those good things. And very, very excited about getting back into golf. You'll be giving me some lessons over the next few weeks.
And
I'm very excited because I'll be taking a trip that's a golf and tennis trip as well. And that will certainly help. Let's talk a little bit about golf because we're going to talk about golf tech a little bit more and what they do. But golf itself is an awesome workout. And I think people don't realize what's entailed. I believe I read somewhere that there are 18,000 steps if you walk the golf course, or is it 20,000 steps?
Pretty easily. I mean, I'm sure it's, if you're walking, I'm sure you're walking anywhere between 3 to 5 miles, depending on how good you are, I guess you could say. But
well, it depends on how many balls you have to hit
exactly
to get to
right.
the cup.
Exactly right. So it is it's a pretty good workout. I mean, a lot of people don't give the PGA Tour the credit that they deserve as far as being athletes. Just simply, if you think about it, they're walking at least 4 rounds of golf. That's if they make the cut. And then they also have their practice rounds that they do. And then they also have the pro-am rounds that they do. So they're walking anywhere between 6 to sometimes 8 rounds of golf during that whole entire week. And they mm-hmm. do that week in and week out.
And then on top of it, then you're actually golfing. Let's not forget
right.
the golfing part.
Exactly.
So let's say on an average day, golfer walks the course, does the 18 holes of golf. How many calories are they burning a day?
That's a great question. I would have to go to Jamie on that one. I mean, but I don't quite have that information, but it's a pretty violent move. It's a quick move, but it's a violent move. It's quite a few, I'm sure.
Well, I'm going to test that theory out. I don't know that I've ever walked a course. Maybe one time. I think there was one course I played that you had to walk. There were no carts allowed
sure.
on it. And even when the carts are allowed, if they're not allowed in the fairway, you still have to park and walk and
yeah.
come back and forth. So you're getting a decent workout if you can't,
there's a lot of slopes,
can't drive
out
through
there,
the fairway.
So, sure.
Yes, yes. I definitely like that. So we talked about golf tech and what kind of staff do you have? Tell us about your staff, your team, the concept.
We've got one of the best staffs, I feel, in golf here in Buckhead. John Cox, Jason Bruce, and Kurt Sanders, some of the other coaches there that we have in Buckhead. Great personalities. The most important thing is to have someone come in and feel as comfortable as possible. Nobody likes to go into a setting to where they're going to be judged. And that's the one thing we make sure that we do is whenever someone comes in that's brand new to our facility, we're not there to judge you as far as this is what's bad with your swing and everything like that. We want to make you as comfortable as possible because we want to make golf fun. And that's what it's there for. People are out there, playing for 4 or 5 hours at a time, and you want to do something that's enjoyable. So.
And it's a hard game.
It's a very hard game. Very hard game.
So my backstory to golf is this. My entire family are golfers, which is hilarious. My grandparents were golfers. So my grandparents were both very good golfers, mm-hmm. my dad's parents. And when they passed away, my grandmother had a set of golf clubs that were original woods
sure.
from the 70s.
Sure.
And she had saved those clubs. My dad brought them back from California and put them in his garage for me, hoping that someday I would take it up. Because my dad is a golfer. One mm-hmm. of my brothers is a golfer. And my brother, who's a golfer, is a scratch golfer. He's really good. And he's been playing for years. And he lives in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
So he can golf pretty much close to year round. And I learned on those woods. I mean, the heads are, like,
sure.
what, 3 inches?
Mm-hmm.
And now I have, a titanium Big Bertha, but it's so different. But I learned on the real original woods, and I think it actually helped me because it's such a hard game. And if you can hit with one of those, then you get a big bertha and it's like, wow, it's revolutionary because sure. the club is so big, you almost can't miss.
Yes. I mean, with the persimmon woods that you talk about, definitely learning on that, having a sweet spot that's about the size of a dime versus sweet spot.
Literally, I think it is like a painted dime.
Yeah, and that versus one that's the size of a half dollar. So it's definitely more beneficial to learn on something like that, learn the hand-eye coordination, the athleticism it takes to hit a golf ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, the athleticism was there. I just never had the impulse to do it. And then all of a sudden one day I was asked to do a golf tournament, be in a golf tournament for a chamber back in Rhode Island. And my love for the game was like the first time out, I was like, this is great. I have to do this more.
Right.
So I fell in love with it and then played quite a bit for the first few years and then life changed and that was about it. But let's get back to Golf Tech.
Sure.
So you recently had a very big opening here in Buckhead. So tell us about the transition here in Buckhead and where you are and how this facility came to be.
Our newest facility, which we just moved down the street, probably would say about 100 yards or a pitching wedge away from where we were. We moved south on Peachtree to the Buckhead Commons Shopping Center. That's right next to Cafe Afar. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everyone in Buckhead knows where that is. And we have three state-of-the-art hitting studios to where clients can come in, hit balls with the same motion analysis, the same video system we're using. We now have Foresight launch monitors in every single one of our bays to where the client can see where the ball goes on a virtual range. We also have a new state-of-the-art simulator. We have one that's being built right now. It's still in the construction. And it's a golf zone simulator that will be coming in here probably in the third week of April. There's three of those in the U.S. right now. Two of them are at the World Golf Hall of Fame down in Florida.
Wow.
So it's a great facility. There's over 25,000 of them over in Korea. And that's kind of where the future of the game is headed. Some people talk about time. They can't really afford all the time to go out and play 4 or 5 hours. So they can come in here and use a simulator. And then we also have a good 18 by 10 foot putting green that we can do a lot of teaching and things like that on it.
So as a client, when somebody comes in, are they signing up for a series of lessons? Or, you know, is there specialty lessons that are part of that? Or, you know, how does it work? Is it a membership or is it a series?
We do have series of lessons available for clients. The first lesson anyone comes in and takes with us is going to be an evaluation. It's anywhere between 60 to 90 minutes. That client is going to give us a goals. We'll go through an interview process of about 20 minutes to figure out exactly what those goals are. And what we're trying to do there is then set up how we're going to fix the golf swing. Does someone want to come in and try and become a PGA Tour member? Does someone want to just come in and take some money from their buddies on the weekend? You know, what is it that each person wants
to do? I just
want
to beat my husband.
There
he
you
says
go.
I'm better than him. So
that's a great goal to have. In fact, I've got...
That's mean, isn't it? No, I'd like to beat my dad or my brother. I've a better goal.
I have three plaques on our wall of fame. And anytime anyone achieves those goals, we take the ball that they played with, put it on the wall of fame with a plaque. It says, beat husband. So I've got three of those on my wall of fame. So
that's funny. That's very funny.
So clients do come in and they take the evaluation, and then we do have a series of lessons that that are available for them afterwards.
So what is your role with Golf Tech?
My role with Golf Tech?
You're the chief gopher. I know you are because you are overseeing three facilities, and as the publisher of the magazine, I am the chief gopher.
Yes.
So I know that's your role.
We've got nine coaches in Atlanta.
Wow.
And so we
three in each facility?
Three in each facility. Okay. We do teach probably, I'd say, anywhere between 12 to 13,000 golf lessons a year in the city of Atlanta. Golf Tech is in general, as the company, we teach 25% of all golf lessons given in the U.S. every single year.
Wow, that's pretty fantastic. Yeah. What's going on right now in March for Golf Tech?
Right now is a very busy time for us. We have a large sale going on right now. Most of our current clients will re-up or purchase more lessons at this time. Lessons are anywhere between 10 to 20% off. And we start at 10 lesson programs, go all the way up to 52 lesson programs. And you can come in and get a great lesson program for the entire 2015-2016 season and be set for the next 12 months at a great price.
Are you training everyone from kids on up to seniors?
The youngest we've had about 4 weeks ago, we had a three-year-old come in.
Wow.
And
that's an ambitious parent trying to make a PGA golfer out of their kid when they're three.
And an ambitious coach to sit there with a three-year-old for about 30 minutes.
Totally.
But we've taught anyone from, like I said, from three-year-old to all the way up to 100-year-old. So all various ages, all various abilities. People who haven't never touched a club before.
Wow.
It's a great place for them to start because it is a hard game. It can be very disturbing in a way when you don't see a golf ball get up in the air. Here that we can show them exactly the parts of the swing that they've improved on very, very, very quickly.
So what's your recommendation typically when somebody walks in? You interview them, you go through the process, you mm-hmm. put them through it. So then do you come up with a plan for that person based on what you're seeing with the analysis?
We do. We do have set plans in place, and we would suggest which plan would be best. But then the coach individually guides that person through the plan. Do we want to do the next 6 weeks indoors? And then do we want to sprinkle in a couple outdoor lessons or a playing lesson here or there? You know, the first thing I'm going to do with a client who's never touched a club before is I'm going to do a couple lessons indoors and then go right outside to the putting green and explain fairways, tee boxes, greens, things like that to the client who has never been on a golf course. But the most experienced client will make sure that they can come in if they have certain goals they need to do. And we'll really teach them how to practice as well when they're not with us.
Mm-hmm.
We do have indoor studio time available, so people can come here in Buckhead and use our facility to practice. There's no really driving range in Buckhead. And so that's the one thing that a lot of people need is a lot of practice.
Yeah, that's definitely a good feature. And when you say that you'll go out and actually golf with them, so you guys mm-hmm. will take them out to an on-site course mm-hmm. and golf with a client.
We do.
So any recommended courses here in the area that you guys like to use?
In this area, you know, we use North Fulton from time to time. We use Steel Canyon Golf Club. That's our main facility, which we teach out of. It's an executive golf course, but you can hit every golf club in your bag there. You know, most of our clients are members of the private facilities around. We'll go out and observe them play golf at their facility and then come back to our shop and be able to download some of the video we've taken on iPads and give them notes and go forward from there.
That's pretty fantastic. I'm very excited about having some lessons because, as I said, I'm heading out for a golf and tennis trip and haven't played tennis in years either. So this should be really fun. I'll be sore all over the place. I'm guaranteeing that. And we were talking before the show. You're obviously no stranger to radio. We heard you were on 92.9 this weekend.
I was, yes.
How was that?
It was great on their golf show. I believe Mike Paul and Brian Katrick, they're on there from 8 to 9 o'clock every morning. Every Sunday morning, talking about the tour and both men's and women's tours and just golf in general, where it is.
Well, that's a station that's on in our car all the time because we're Hawks fans. So sure. We're always listening to basketball news on that. Thank you so much, Andy. It's been great to talk to you and looking forward to working with you
Absolutely.
This spring.
Can't wait.
How do our listeners find you? How do they reach you by phone, email, social media, all those good things?
All of them. So we have golftech.com. Clients can go there and sign up for a tour. They can come in and take a look at us and show. We can show them around the various hitting bays that we have. And then you can call us at 404-467-8884.
Okay, and social media?
Facebook, yes.
Facebook.
And Twitter.
You're on Twitter at Golf Tech,
yes,
right?
At
not
Golf Tech.
And not individual Atlanta, just the main company, right?
That's correct, yes. We actually have both, Golf Tech ATL or Golf Tech.
Oh, that's great to know. I think mm-hmm. we were tweeting out to you guys, but at Golf Tech. So
mm-hmm.
we'll make sure our social media director knows that. Thank you again, Andy. I'm sure we'll be
Thank
talking
you.
A little bit more golf at the end of the show as we get into Jamie's portion, but great to have you. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Lib, let's move on to you. Very excited to hear about Sandy Springs. Obviously, a sister to Buckhead, just a little north of us here. We do cover quite a bit of Sandy Springs in our publication, so it was nice to hear from you folks about what's going on this spring. Why don't you tell our listeners first about what the Sandy Springs Society is?
It's a group of 300 women that is dedicated to improving the life of our community through supporting the nonprofits that support arts, education, environment, heritage, and social services.
Hmm.
To date, this is a 26-year old organization, and to date, this group has raised $2.8 million and dispersed them to various nonprofits in Sandy Springs. Last year alone, we raised $215,000.
Wow.
Supported 17 nonprofits.
That's fantastic. You know, I have always said this, see, when you need something great done, you always ask a busy woman. Got to ask the moms and the busy professional women because they get the job done. I would take a guess that a lot of those women that are in your group are working women and moms and busy people in general, and they're asked to step up to the task and they get the job done.
I've always said that this is an organization of all leaders.
Absolutely. I think we run our homes and we run the world too, but men just don't know it yet. So let's talk about what's coming up, because you have an event coming up literally this week, a very big event. So tell us about Tossed Out Treasures.
This is one of the two fundraisers that we do every year, and this is our 23rd year of doing Tossed Out Treasures. And it is not your typical garage sale or estate sale. I call it an upscale resale event. And it's very exciting. We never know what's going to come in as donations from our members or friends or people in the community. And watching what comes in through the door and gets sorted out and displayed is the most interesting process. And you will see everything from the practical to the impractical. And we have all sorts of departments in Tossed Out Treasures, from clothing and furniture to a man's cave, which is a very popular section. And we have silver, we have jewelry. This year we have some vintage items. I was just talking about two vintage 1940s Mixmasters.
Wow.
Mm-hmm, that are still working. We're trying to determine how to price. But we have a lot of fun with this. One department that I'm particularly fond of is women's clothing. What I'm wearing came from there last year. I describe it as couture is everything above $5. So.
And where is this event actually held?
6337 Roswell Road, which is the old Marshall's building in what was called Marshall's Plaza on Roswell Road in Sandy Springs.
Now, these are individuals who come, or are there actual, some of the resale shops, do they come and bring their wares? And do these folks pay a fee to have a booth, or how does it actually work?
This is all Sandy Springs Society, and most... Most of the items that we get are from donations from our members. Many of our members this year were downsizing, so we got furniture and rugs as well as household equipment. There are some stores that send us things, but this is all organized and sold by the Sandy Springs Society.
Wow. But this sounds like a fantastic event. I wish I was going to be around this weekend, because that's my thing. I love consignment women's clothing, mm-hmm. especially. That's one of my my favorite haunts to do. So I think there's also some events prior. The timing on this event, and is there a preview type of event coming up
yes.
as well?
We open Thursday night at 6:00 with what we call a preview party. And I'm overwhelmed at the response we've gotten this year. It's a little larger than we've had before, but we open the doors at 6:00. We have people that have prepaid for reservations. We've already gotten about 400 of those.
Wow.
And then we will have what I call pays at the door that begin to line up several hours in advance, and we pass out tickets so that they can continue their place in line. And they seem to be more interested in getting in to shop early than to have the dinner that we had planned for them. Mm-hmm.
So they can they buy anything that night?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it's already open.
Everything is for sale with a price of admission that includes a dinner.
Wow. And then the next day, it's open on Friday and Saturday?
And Saturday. And free to the public with free parking.
Wow.
And the hours are from 10:00 to 6:00 on Friday and Saturday.
And by the end of the day Saturday, is it picked clean?
it's always surprising. Goodness, even after Thursday night, we see a difference in what we have set up. And of course, we say that the people that come on Thursday and Friday are really looking for the treasures, and the people that come on Saturday are the people that really need these items that we've priced almost at Goodwill prices.
So how much money do you guys raise with this one event?
Last year it was $70,000.
Wow, that's fantastic. And you must have some tips for people coming, because I'm sure the parking is crazy, especially with even 400 people at a preview party. That's huge. Any tips for the audience if they're planning on attending this event?
Bring a truck.
Bring a truck. Yes, there's furniture. That absolutely makes sense. What other events?
Wear comfortable shoes.
Yes, wear comfortable shoes.
We have 39,000 square feet of retail space. So, you know, just walking around, wear comfortable shoes. Bring money.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm assuming everything is mostly cash.
Well,
or can you do credit card?
We cash, checks, or credit cards.
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to ask a few more questions about this, because this is a phenomenal organization. What you're doing is just unbelievable. I'm familiar with the Heritage Sandy Springs organization, which I know you're probably, they're one of your beneficiaries, I'm sure. Now, if you raised $75,000 on this one event last year, but you raised $215,000 throughout the year, there must be some other fabulous events. What other things are you doing throughout the year?
Well, last year we actually had three fundraisers. I doubt that, you know, I keep saying I'm not sure we're going to meet that goal this year when we only have two fundraisers. But our fall fundraiser is called the Elegant Elf. And that's when we do have vendors that come in that we have juried and selected that have high-end Christmas gifts and gifts that you might be purchasing for the holidays, as well as demonstrations and visits from authors. I know that they're planning some special events this year, but last year I can tell you that as president that we had we opened with what we called the Elegant Elf Evening Extravaganza, where we all had a silent auction, a live auction, and then we had dinner and a band that I'm very fond of. I don't know if y'all have heard the Yuppie Scum, but this is a band of bankers, bankers and lawyers.
That, oh, that's funny. I figured there was a reason for that name.
That entertained us, that we have become quite fond of. I could not get people to leave. They were having such a good time. We continued that with what we called Restaurant Week, and that was with a coalition of the restaurants in the area that we advertised for the restaurants, and the restaurants allowed us to put table tents on their tables with the who, what, when, and where of Elegant Elf. That worked out very well. That was our first year of doing that. And then we began the Saturday of the marketplace with a breakfast with the elves for children, which was the second time we have done that. And I hope that continues, because we all had such a good time with it.
So when you raise all of these funds, how do you determine where these funds are allotted? Do people have to apply for grants?
Yes. Beginning in October, we are open for submission of, they apply to us for grants, which are due at the end of December, I believe. And then we have what we call a philanthropy committee, where each assigned a certain number of organizations to go out and interview. Our first questions are always, what did you do with the money last year? Show me how you spent it. And then we discuss this year's grant proposal with them, and we've been able to do such big things. I always get a lump in my throat when I think about it, because, for example, at the Community Action Center, we were able to purchase commercial-sized refrigerators for them. And to be able to walk in and see a $25,000 commercial refrigerator that wouldn't exist if we had not known of their need and be able to do it for them is quite satisfying. Last year, we also were able to buy a bus for the Sandy Springs Mission, which enabled them to transport children to after-school activities. And we've done many other things. We support our schools. Most schools have foundations, and we were able to provide programs and projects that they might not have had funds to do. We 35% of everything goes immediately to Heritage. So we're very closely affiliated with this organization. We have usually about 25 nonprofits that apply to us. And we, after interviews, get back together in the committee and go through and see how best to disperse the money that we're able to raise. And at this point, we're trying to, our focus seems to be on making a larger impact than to make very small donations to all of them.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the women that are a part of the society. Do they, do you solicit for people? Do you actively look for new members, other women that are in the community that might be able to help, or people that you've heard about that want to be involved in the community? How has your membership grown? Because, listening to you speak, this is a really fantastic organization.
Well,
it must be well organized.
This began in 1988 when a group of 8 women got together and thought about how we could work together to improve our community.
Were you one of those original 8?
I wish I had been, but I was not. These 8 grew to 16 for the next week, and then by the end of the year, had 100 members.
Wow.
And we have grown to 300, and actually 308 members. This year, we have just had our membership selection committee, and our average is about 12 new members every year, which we like that number because it accounts for attrition. We've gotten to the point that we don't want to get a great deal larger because it's difficult to find places for us to meet.
Mm-hmm.
In Sandy Springs, mm-hmm. and often we're coming into Buckhead to restaurants venues here because we can't accommodate our group in Sandy Springs. Hopefully that will change when we build the new city center and performing arts center there.
This is absolutely fantastic. I wasn't exactly sure what we were in for today in hearing you, and I just think this is a phenomenal organization. I'm very proud of you for what you're doing.
Well,
thank
you.
And very excited about this weekend's events. For those of our listeners who may want to go and research a little bit more about this particular event, how can they find you? Are you guys on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff, as well as a website, phone number? How can our listeners find out about
all,
you?
All of that good stuff.
Okay.
But certainly, if you want to pull us up, it's www.sandyspringssociety.org.
And how about Instagram and Twitter? Do we have a handle?
If we do, I don't know.
Lucy?
I'm embarrassed to say.
No.
Find a link on the website.
Okay,
a committee working on this.
You know what? And I found this a lot, in working with organizations. I find that so much of it, because we've been around for years, like the Buckhead mm-hmm. Business Association even, we had this discussion when they were on the show mm-hmm. with us. And the organization has been around since 1951. Or 51 years or 1951. I can't remember one of the two. Either way, it's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the original folks that were there are older even than me, dare I say. And, some of us had to learn how to use Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all those things a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
But they are great tools. They just disperse your message to a pretty large audience. So you got to get some of those younger ladies in your group to get some social media savvy and help out with that. But we'll put a plug in again as well. And we'll help you guys out a little bit on social media. We'll definitely let our social media director know about it. Great event this weekend. March 27th is the preview.
March
27th is when it starts.
This Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay, terrific. And tickets are $25 in advance, $30 at the door for the preview party, which is on Thursday night, the 26th. The event is free and open to the public on Friday and Saturday, the 27th and 28th. In the former Marshalls in Marshalls Plaza, and as Lib said, 39,000 square feet of retail space. That's huge. So if you're looking for some tossed out treasures that become your treasures, this is definitely the place to go. Lib, thank you so much for being here. I'm very excited about what you're doing in Sandy Springs.
Thank you.
Terrific to have you. Our final guest for today is Jamie Bodner, the owner and proprietor and extraordinaire fitness trainer of Pinnacle Fitness. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you for having me again.
You're welcome. I think you were here with us in December, prior to the start of the year. It was November. You were here in November, back in the beginning. And we were talking about, at that point, how to stay in shape over the terrible holiday months when people just kind of are eating so much and drinking so much and visiting family and don't get to be so active in those winter months. So now that the sun is out, is your gym hopping?
You know, it's a great question. Yes, and once
that's
the weather
my starter
gets warm,
question.
The weather's warm. The sun is coming out. There's no question. People are definitely more encouraged to get in the shape and get their bathing suit bodies ready to go. So yeah, absolutely.
So tell me what the phenomenon is. I've never understood this in all my years of being physically fit. I've never understood why it seems like January 2nd, every gym in the country is full of people. By the end of January, mid-February, they sort of have fallen off. And then again, as soon as the sun comes out in March, they're back in the gym. So what is that? How hard is it to keep people motivated from the cold winter months into the spring?
You know, it is tough to keep people motivated because it's so funny how we can get comfortable in baggy clothing and a lot of it, jackets and sweatshirts and jeans. And all of a sudden, the moment you want to take a jacket off, you say, wait a second, I don't look how I want to look. I need to get moving again. So it does get tough. It becomes a challenge, certainly over the holidays, like we talked about, with holiday parties and all family stuff going on. It's tough. But you know, January 2nd is always an interesting time in gyms. There's definitely a big rush. In our environments, it's a little different. We actually get a big push really February through March and April. We're certainly not the cheapest place in town. And so people kind of try it on their own and they realize by February, they say, wait a second, nothing's changed since December and January. So now I'm going to go too professional and try to really get in shape. So we see that more than opposed to January 2nd. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely fun trying to keep people motivated. We come with different techniques. Some, you know, a great thing about technology, we're talking about Twitter and all the social media is that stuff also helps us stay in touch with people.
Oh, yes.
And it helps us keep them motivated.
Just
too.
Don't call out to me on Twitter and say, where have you been at, Simply Buckhead?
Well, that's a personal phone call.
Yes.
That's a personal phone call, yeah.
Or a text message in praising Pinnacle Fitness, where those of you who know me know that I've been going here for 4 years. My anniversary is 4 years, April 20th. I have been training with Jamie and his team of professionals at Pinnacle. And if they don't see me for a week, I get a text message. They want to know where I am. And it is an amazing thing that would never happen in a traditional gym setting. And that's one of the things we love about you. It isn't the typical gym setting. It is personal training. It's one-on-one. And personally, over all the years that I've worked out, there's nothing like it, having the one-on-one motivation and the training. You can't hide in the back of the class. And one of the most annoying things to me used to be going to spin classes. And on January 2nd, you couldn't get a spot in your class because all the new members were there. So I would just wait it out for about 3 weeks. I'd go do other things in the gym. And about 3 weeks later, my spots would be back there and you could sign up and definitely get a place. But yeah, that's the difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have to make an appointment. It's like making a doctor's appointment and you want to keep that appointment. So it is definitely a different setting. Now, I wanted to talk with you about golf specifically today. For obvious reasons, we have Andy here. So we thought it would be a great time to talk about golf. And you have some specialized training, TPI certification. And I'd love it if you could tell our listeners about TPI certification, what was involved in the process for you to get that, and how that training that you have can specifically help golfers.
Sure, absolutely. TPI stands for Titleist Performance Institute. So people don't, everyone knows Titleist in the golf world. So but that's what it is, Titleist.
The golf balls that I swing that end up in the woods.
Yeah, those expensive golf balls you hit around. Yeah, that's them.
No, mine go straight. They just don't go far.
Hey, that's good, though.
That's what I'm told.
I'm sure Andy will agree. But I personally got certified with TPI or Titleist about 2 years ago now. And we went out to Arizona. We went to one of their performance institutes and did ultimately it was a weekend seminar and all their coursework that they have. And it was a large part is their screening process. So like you were talking about, Andy, in the golf swing, is we learned how to screen golfers and find where the limitations were in the golf swing. So whether they were they had a mobility issue, a stability issue, and then figure out what's causing it. Is it the fact that there's muscles that are not strong enough, or is there an actual joints stability problem? So from there, we can kind of really specifically put together a plan for that golfer to enhance their golf game and really become more efficient in the golf swing. So I tell people, we did not learn at all about a golf swing. I'm not going to try to teach someone for a second how to swing the club itself. But what I'm going to do is make their body work more efficiently to work with the golf club, to come to Golf Tech and work with someone like Andy or one of his coaches over there, because we don't do what they do. So it's that's the fun thing about what we get to do, is we get to kind of work as a team a lot with some coaches. And so a lot of times we'll have a golf pro come to us and say, hey, this is my my player, and he's got a reverse angle spine, and we need to fix that. So we'll go through the screening process, and then we'll put together a plan of workouts that they'll either do with us. Sometimes they do a few with us, a few on their own. So we kind of figure out the plan for them. So
I'm going to take a guess and say that depending on the person's lifestyle and how often during the year they're playing, you want to keep them training with you in those specific areas that will help their golf game throughout the year based on the times of the year that they're playing.
Absolutely. We have a couple of amateur pro golfers, and there's no question when they're not in tour, we are going after it. You were there this morning. You know what it feels like. We go after it. But there's no question when they're in tournament time, we're certainly having a whole different type of workout, because we want them to be fresh and healthy and feel good for playing the tournament. Like we were talking about before, when you walk a full 18 holes, you can burn. You're asking how many calories you burn. It all depends on the person, but anywhere between 1,000 and 2,000 calories.
Wow.
And you're out there for 4 hours. You don't want the person going into that tired. So you have to make sure the plan is proper where it's...
Or dehydrated.
Yeah, good point.
Another piece of it is the nutrition aspect, and that's something else that you're very well-versed on, too.
Very good point, yeah.
So for the people that are coming in for the specific golf training, are you seeing a particular age demographic, or are people just kind of coming to you as they find out that you actually have this available?
A little of both. Our demographics is middle-aged men is certainly... our meat of
Darn,
our business.
I have to break these molds, don't I? I always have to be a trailblazer.
But we have, like I said, we have some professional amateur people in their 20s and 30s and some seniors. You know, we were talking about the new year and stuff. One thing we've noticed outside of the golf world, I've had a lot of people above 70 coming in lately, which has been so cool to me, because you're like, here these folks are. Everyone always thought, you get into your 70s and 80s, you can't exercise and it's just downhill. And I've got people, I got a 78-year-old guy with 4 hip replacements, and he's now just starting to work out. Yeah, certainly by a few. So it's great to see some of the folks that are, above 70 saying, I want to get into better shape. And it happens. They do it. So, but in terms of the golf world, let's definitely say the middle-aged man is where our bread and butter is, I guess you'd say. So that's... Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not surprising. It's not like I was expecting him to say anything different, but I was looking for something different, I think. So in your gym, people who may or may not know about you yet, Jamie's gym has a Kinesis wall. So let's tell our listeners first about the Kinesis wall and what it is, and then perhaps tell us if the Kinesis wall is part of the incorporation into the golf training.
We have a Kinesis wall from Techno Gym. It's a 30-foot wall that we brought in from Italy, and it has pulleys and weights and handles. But ultimately, the idea of it is that it doesn't disturb any of your movements. The cables don't get in your way, so you have a full 360-degree movement with these cables. So when you can do weight-bearing movements with your natural range of motion on your body. So that's the great thing, and it activates the abs with every movement that you do, and it's very versatile. So, and yes, we work into the golf program. A large part of the class is done with the Kinesis wall. So it's definitely a huge part of our program. And in our personal training as well, we definitely use Kinesis in our personal training and for the golfers too. It's a fantastic piece of equipment.
I know. It's one of my favorites in your gym. Yeah. So for the specific golf training, you're doing both classes as well as the personal training.
Exactly. We have a great group of guys, some women that come in for sure. We have about 50 people right now that come in. We do 4 classes a week in the mornings, and then we do private training as well. So, and we have some people that kind of do both. They want to come in for 1 or 2 privates and then 1 or 2 classes. And it's really a lot of people have met each other. We actually, we have a couple that got engaged that met at the gym in the golf class, actually. So it's been a fun environment.
You didn't know you were going to become eHarmony too, right?
That's exactly. It's funny. Yeah, we posted a picture recently and then they got engaged and it was really sweet.
That's so great. Yeah. Well, it's a common interest. It's a very well-loved sport. And, you know, a lot of us use it for, quote, relaxation. I always used to call it a weekend warrior workout because for me it was like something if you had 4 or 5 hours on a weekend to do, you know, and you can walk and golf. It's part of my being outdoors and staying active. That's right. Personally part of my routine. Yeah. But, yeah, I could see that happening very easily in your gym.
It's wild.
That's amazing.
One of the things that we do are so important, too, is you know, you were saying earlier, Andy, how vigorous and aggressive the golf swing is. You know, statistically, when you run outside on the streets, you put about 3 to 4 times your body weight of pressure onto your lumbar spine, the lower back. When you swing a golf club, it's 10 times the pressure. So, I mean, if arguably it's 3 times harder on your lower back than running, swinging a golf club. So it's really important to keep the body strong and limber when you're playing golf so regularly.
Are you a golfer?
I am starting to play.
Like
Andy, I have 2 young children at home, so it's it gets to be a challenge sometimes. But I get out there as much as I can, which has only been once this year. So,
You got me beat, so I haven't been out there at all. But I think between the two of you, you are tasked with getting me golf ready. You may have to come play around with me before I go on that golf trip, Andy, I think.
Absolutely.
Jamie, maybe you join us.
Hey, love to. Love to.
Any courses here that you recommend or that you hear your guys being trained talking about?
You know, a lot of the private country clubs are certainly where a majority of our people belong. We do some work with the Heritage Golf Club. We do some stuff over there that we've played a few rounds at. So, but mostly the private clubs are where most of our customers play.
So we're talking a little bit about golf, but I know there's also some new things going on at the gym. Tell our listeners what else you have that's going on that's new.
So we just started Zumba, mm-hmm. and it's you know Brandon. You just worked with him about 2 hours ago. His personality is electrifying. He's a fantastic dancer, and he really makes the class just a ton of fun. And everyone says, oh, I can't dance. We have it upstairs. There's no window. There are windows, but you can't see in. And there's nobody watching. If you're there, you're participating. Otherwise, you're not there. So it's a fun environment we got going on there. So that's been a good start. We just started that about a month ago. So it's been a good.
Yeah, I've heard a few people talking about it. It sounds like a lot of fun. And yep, I can't really dance either.
Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Just have fun. That's all you
need
to do.
I used to, you know, back in those young days of mine, I was into modern and jazz dance and all that good stuff. I could probably do it. I think I'm more shy about it than anything else. Well, this is a great discussion. Jamie, how does our audience find you? I know that you're very active on all levels of social media. And where is the gym located, if you tell our listeners all the good stuff?
Yeah, we're right in the heart of Buckhead. We're East Andrews and Canes Hill. We're on Canes Hill, but right there, a little side street behind Whole Foods. And our website is pinnaclefitnessgym.com. Our phone number is 404-228-3705. And then on Facebook, we're Pinnacle Fitness. And on Twitter, we are Pinnacle Gym. And I think that's all of them.
No Instagram.
You know, we just brought on a new assistant this week. And she's starting to work on that as well.
Yeah, Instagram, so. I didn't realize how big Instagram was. And then Ludacris was on my cover, and he posted one Instagram post and copied it to Twitter. And literally in 24 hours, there were almost 20,000 likes on that one post. We had 300 new followers because of it.
Wow.
But in 24 hours. It was absolutely phenomenal. So we're getting on the bandwagon, and we're going to be using Instagram quite a bit more too. We have been for the last few weeks. But yes, they're all very good tools. I think these are all great ones. This has been a fascinating discussion on all levels, and we do have some time. I'm wondering if any of you have questions for each other. Ryan, do you have any questions for any of these guests?
I was going to mention the Sandy Springs Society does have a Twitter handle. You can follow them at the SS Society. Also on Facebook, the Sandy Springs Society. So reach out to them, support the cause this weekend. And my question for you, Lib, would be if you said you've reached kind of a number of active members, and outside of the events that you have on, any other way that people could join or support or really, you know, get involved with your group?
Well, we all welcome participation in all of our fundraisers. And in terms of membership, there is a residency requirement. You must live in Sandy Springs for a certain number of years. The other requirement is that you must be sponsored and endorsed by members that know you well. Mm-hmm. But the our new membership classes used to be larger, but as I said, we've had to tighten up our requirements because we've kind of reached almost a saturation point.
So the best way is to come out and buy some things at the upscale resale event that you're having, and all the good money goes to causes. Can you mention some of those other nonprofits that your group supports? You know, you mentioned a few of those, mm-hmm. but please share with our listeners.
Well, we support Act 3 Productions, the Child Development Association, the Community Assistance Center, the Franklin Pine Chamber Music, Friends of the North Springs Foundation, that's North Springs High School. Herds Ferry Elementary School has a foundation we support. Our big one, of course, is Heritage Sandy Springs. Mm-hmm. 35% of every dollar we make goes to Heritage. Leadership Sandy Springs, Los Ninos, Primero, the Mary Hall Freedom House, Prevent Blindness Georgia, the Riverwood High School Foundation, the Sandy Springs Education Force, the Sandy Springs Mission, Senior Services of North Fulton, Spalding Drive Charter School Foundation, and the Watershed Alliance of Sandy Springs.
Wow. Well,
that's great.
That's phenomenal.
That's good. Well, keep up the good work and continue supporting all those great organizations that you guys are. My question back to Andy with Golf Tech here for a moment. So you said you're an avid golfer getting out there these days. But who would your favorite golfer on the tour be this year?
Wow. That's a tough one. You know, Henrik Stenson's been playing really well as of recently, and it's really a joy to watch him and his iron striking. It's been pretty good. Didn't have the putter rolling for him yesterday, or on Sunday, I should say. But I'd say he's probably one of my favorites right now to watch. But, you know, Rory's always up there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the young guys like Jordan Spieth, I mean, that's a lot of fun to watch those guys.
I think Ricky Fowler's fun to watch, too.
He's fun to watch his clothes.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's a colorful guy.
Yeah. So any predictions for the Masters right around the corner?
You know, I like Henrik. You know, he's been doing really well. His ball striking's been really well for the past 3 weeks. He's been top 10.
Have you been to the Masters?
I have. I'm very fortunate with the PGA, being a PGA member, being able to get in and watch him. So it's always a pleasure.
Can we stow away in your golf bag? I was there 2 years ago. It was phenomenal. The Augusta CVB hosted us, and it was wonderful. Yeah, I was there literally on the last day of the tournament, on the Sunday, and sat on the 16th green, and it was amazing. We were there while it was pouring rain. Mm-hmm. So it was a phenomenal experience, though.
Probably.
Yes, he did. Adam Scott won. Yeah.
I'm not a golfer myself, but I've watched the Masters year after year. Mm-hmm. I remember watching as a kid and seeing the azaleas on TV, looking out my window, seeing them bloom, hearing the birds on TV, hearing the birds chirping. It's springtime. It's a tradition to even watch it for us non-golfers.
It is literally like that, too. You can't believe it when you're walking on the course and you do come around and you get the full view of the 10th and 11th. It is spectacular. Those azaleas really are as gorgeous as what they look like on TV.
It's always the best. I'm fortunate enough to be a number of times, but I always really want to go with someone who has never been before, because I always get to relive that experience through that person's eyes and show them exactly what you've watched on TV over the years. And that's probably one of the
does everyone things. You take go into the shop though and buy like hundreds of dollars of equipment, because that's what happened to me.
Absolutely.
I think I left there with about $600 worth of gear. I ate egg salad sandwiches and nice. I mean it was a phenomenal experience. So loved it. Fond memory. Ryan, questions for anyone else? We've had quite a discussion here.
I'm just curious, any summer specials or summer things you're going to be offering your clients coming up? I know folks are getting out of school, maybe have kids, want to get out to the gym.
We are doing something where you bring a guest or a friend or family member for free to encourage people to work out together. We definitely realize that it's nice to have a buddy along the way. Mm-hmm. And then also another thing I forgot to mention is yoga. We're really getting strong into yoga. We have one of our fitness professionals is a yoga instructor, and she's just fantastic. And we're really, a lot of our clients have been working with her, and the results have just been amazing. And even as little as one day a week, doing yoga has been fantastic. She actually works with some of our golfers as well. So that's another thing that we're just getting.
Yeah, no, I participate in yoga myself. It helps me, my flexibility and my mobility, but also centers the mind a little bit too. So it really helps you calm, find that center of yourself that you can go to in times when you're stressed. So yoga is good for the mind and the body.
Yeah, very true.
I think I'm very glad that you two are both here today. Andy, Jamie, I think you'll have some common discussion, some common ground here to work together. And maybe you can help each other, some of your clients. You can help each other's clients.
We're close enough, there's no question.
I bet we already have some clients.
I'm sure you do.
We can talk about it when we go down to the Masters this year, if you'd
like. All right. Well, with that, we thank all of our guests again. Jamie Bodner from Pinnacle Fitness, Liv Thompson from the Sandy Springs Society, and Annie Brent from Golf Tech Atlanta. Thank you all for being here today. Fantastic show. Looking forward to great success this season and working with the two of you.